Monarch fans. Welcome back to Hudson Homers. It's been, I think, 3 weeks, maybe a month.
About a month, I think.
But a lot's happening.
I think we need an update on that opening, though. We need some new photos in that opening. We got, I love the guys, but we're getting a little stale on that. We gotta beg on that.
We can get that set up. Thankfully, CB, you've got quite a few photos for us to choose from. I'm sure we'll get some from Fall Ball as well.
There we go.
But we've got a bunch of stuff for you today. We got Coach Mayer. We got Coach Finney. He'll be hopping on in just a second. A lot's happened since the last episode. We've had a draft. Portal is closed. We got high school kids enrolled now. Maybe some stadium updates and anything else going on from the summer for ODU baseball. So appreciate you all continuing to tune in over the summer. But we want to just go ahead and introduce our guests. Now, CB, you have any major life updates for us other than your cat trying to knock over all your stuff?
No, yeah, I don't know what she's doing right now, but she started climbing me now. That's her thing now. She will like sprint, run, crawl, and sit on my shoulder, so which is super a fun thing that now I have to like be on my head on a swivel at all times, which is great.
Well, I'm just waiting for like the Hudson Homers meta situation when she jumps in and pulls your curtain down before it actually falls down.
Well, that would be impressive because she can't quite get through this gate yet. So
just wait.
I am.
Just wait. Well, awesome. We'll get right to it here. We're going to bring on our two guests for today, head coach Chris Finwood and coach Mike Marin. Finney, been a minute. How you doing?
Great, guys. Good to be here. Good to see your smiling faces again, and I'm happy we got Mike here with us. He's back on the road for the last big recruiting trip of the summer here coming up, so it's good to get him back in town and jump on the show.
I didn't even know we had such good timing. That's awesome.
Yeah, you do. Well, last night, I appreciate y'all moving. We had the going away a little bit coaching – get together with John Keene since he's heading up to Merrimack.
Yeah.
Is it college, Mike? Merrimack College or University?
It is. It's not university yet.
Coach Marin is frozen on the screen. Next time that happens, I'm definitely taking a picture of that. So, that's that one's funny. Going on his contact photo.
There it goes, right there.
So Merrimack College, he's heading up there next week. And as Mike reminded me, John's been with us 10 years.
I was going to say, he's been a long time,
From player to grad assistant and director of ops. He's done a little bit of everything here. Came in as a catcher, left as a pitcher. And now he's going to be the pitching coach at Merrimack, and we're really excited for this opportunity for him. He's a fantastic representative of ODU and just one of the best all-around people you can imagine. So we'll miss him.
Good for them. They're getting all – I mean, he's the best. I remember he was one of those guys, when he played, obviously, I think we all know he didn't play a ton, and you would never know. He came in every day with just the best attitude, and he's just an all-team guy, and he's brought that to the coaching. And, I'm really excited for him. That's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. See, people listening. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say, just with John, again, he's been – CB, he probably puts, he's right up there for, in the running for Old Dominion baseball historian. I'd probably put him up the last decade up against anybody else in terms of knowing the ins and outs of this program and the people. And so his impact is spread through now multiple teams over, kind of multiple different classes and trick. He's been awesome. He's earned it. Like, his story is so cool because he came back and just said, I want to coach, and I'll whatever opportunity I can get, I will find my way. I will work my way into a role and I want to learn the trade. And, he started a couple of years ago just trying to obviously helping out in the office and at practice and going through all that, but really was on Big Mike's crew, right? Was doing the bullpens and the game mounds for us. That's where he kind of got his in. It was hey, we can use some help doing some stuff on the field. And he took right to that. And man, it's been fun to watch his progression, his evolution, and to see, you know, the skills that I think were already in there, but the ability for him to take, to absorb all the things on this side of the ball, on the coaching side, the last couple of years, and really be able to turn that around and put him in a position where I think when he gets up to Merrimack, he's going to do really well. He's going to build relationships with guys up there. He's going to give him a plan. He's going to give him some structure. He's going to give him some ownership. And I'm excited to see him do that. I know he's excited to get out on the road, start recruiting. I've been trying to keep coaching at UMass Lowell for 4 years. He's actually going to be living basically like a block off campus from where I got a chance to, you know, obviously debate for a while. I told him about the pizza place he needs to frequent when he gets up there and all those types of things. Yeah. But he's built for this next opportunity. He's going to do a great job. And he kind of falls in line with a lot of these other guys that we've been super fortunate to have in these roles that have, you know, taken advantage of their opportunity and been able to progress their coaching careers into, you know, whatever their next steps are. So he joins a really, you know, good, awesome group of guys that we've had in here, and he's had a major impact on our day to day.
Well, speaking of progressing careers, hat tip to the entire coaching staff, including John, on all three weekend starters getting drafted. And we timed it perfectly for Mike, your first appearance here on the Hudson Homers podcast. You got three guys going to the league now.
We are super fortunate. These guys have been awesome representations of this place. So they got a little ways to go before they get to the league. They just got they got some time on that one. They got some work to do. Right now, they just got the hats of the guys that are in the league.
Yeah.
And they got to – but, you know, just talk to – was texting with DB earlier. He just signed and officially talked to Ben earlier as well. He was taking me through some of his day-to-days. You know, they're going through their meetings right now. And I haven't talked to Blake in a couple of days, but we were pretty involved in kind of obviously his processes in terms of helping him kind of get to his spot. And just can't be any – they're phenomenal representations of this place and this program and what you want an Old Dominion Monarch to be, baseball or otherwise. Like they're outstanding representations of this program and this university.
And we caught up with Blake on Saturday and talked to him for a while. We have that interview. It's actually going to be at the end of this episode if you want to hear from Blake and his excitement on getting drafted. But, Mike, he talked a lot about your involvement with the draft process, yeah, kind of helping get his name out there, but also kind of lining up, all right, well, if you don't get drafted, there's some opportunities to sign as an undrafted guy, all of those things. So take us through that process a little bit, because obviously with three guys, they're likely we're going to get drafted. Like, what was your day-to-day like prepping for that?
Well, I mean, I think what's really, you know, for Ben and Dylan, you know, those guys are in a little different boat, like juniors and seniors, you know, there's a bunch of different dynamics that are in play, right? Position players, pitchers, you know, guys that have some eligibility left, and Ben and Dylan both were in similar situations. So, you know, they, locked on with an advisor that I think was really important and valuable for them going through that process, the pre-draft and then, you know, on draft day. And this year was a little bit different. The MLB dropped it down to 2 days instead of three. So they condensed everything into those. It was still the first three rounds. It was the first two rounds, Finney. And then it was first three and then 4 to 10. What was interesting different this year was that they, instead of giving a day between rounds 10 and 11, they gave an hour. They gave a lunch break. And I think that, I mean, not to get bogged down on that, but I think that has a massive impact on the dynamics that come in play. Guys that aren't, in Ben's situation was similar. It had some of that come on just in terms of, is he going to go, obviously, you know, expected to go before the 10th round and then post 10th round. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in between those in that hour. It used to be that day. I think Ben's in a really good spot, obviously gets to go to the hometown team here, the hometown organization. So, I think that ended up being a really good situation for him. But yeah, I mean, those guys, Dylan and Ben, were super fortunate to get invited to the draft combine. I thought that was a phenomenal experience for them. It was really cool. We were only one of a couple handful of programs in the country that had, you know, multiple pitchers out there, and I think that was really good and helped them kind of get prepared for, you know, what was coming in the draft. And then with Blake, yeah, Blake's leverage was not from an additional year, like with Ben and Dylan. Blake's leverage came from he's awesome, and everybody that came in to see him loved him. And a lot of guys, you know, even for a senior guy, a lot of area guys put him on, you know, or turned him in. And I think he was able to create some leverage for that in terms of, you know, it wasn't just one or two guys that kind of, you know, saw him and, you know, wanted to give him a chance. Like at the end of the draft, that he had generated a good amount of interest from a number of different teams that had seen him. And yeah, I just think it's a little bit tricky for a senior. Sometimes, you know, you get some organizations that want to try and save some money early in those, like, you know, rounds 5, 6 through 10. Do you go in that spot? Do you go later in the draft? Do you go in the free agent pool? There's a couple different factors for guys like Blake. And I think he kind of, you know, the draft, like with anybody, you're running through the kind of roller coaster. And Finney always talks about, you can't predict the draft. Like there's a lot that goes into that, and you're going to waste your time trying to predict and understand it. You know, I think probably this year, maybe more than ever, you saw a little bit of impact of some college programs having a lot more money to throw at some incoming high school guys and make it maybe a little bit changing the dynamic for major league organizations to sign them. So these days, everybody, you know, you're typically not getting drafted very often unless there's a, you know, the teams have called you and you've agreed to a deal, right? Like teams aren't usually wasting time drafting and then figuring it out later. They've already kind of, you know, everybody's kind of agreed to something. So I think there's a lot in play. Blake's situation was great for him. He was wanted by, you know, a lot of teams showed interest, and he's in a great spot in Tampa. It was really cool to his, you know, area guy that signed him, ML, you know, was obviously just, you know, we have a really good relationship with, and we will continue to have a really good relationship with moving forward now that he's the head coach at Norfolk State. And I thought that was just an awesome kind of cherry on top for, you know, for the program and to have that opportunity for Blake to, you know, to get picked up there.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things we talked about, is that there's that, you know, getting signed after the draft is amazing, right? I mean, that's what you want to play pro, but just that feeling of getting, I was drafted compared to I was signed is so important. So it's, Blake gave you a ton of credit for all the work you put in. So that was awesome.
It only matters if he's good. He's good. Yeah. He's good. Everybody's like, yeah, I mean, you're just kind of like organizing the books on the shelf. Like, right. The books still got to be good. Like, so I think it's just making sure it just got in alphabetical order. That's pretty much our role in that at the end of the day. And, you know, Blake created that for himself. Like, he's done nothing but been super resilient, handled an immense amount of, Finney and I have, like, there's been it's been an awesome relationship we've been able to build with him. And he's had to work through a bunch of stuff in his 4 years, like most guys that are at, which is the cool thing, right? Like, you're at a place for 4 years, and those guys, what's awesome about them is, like, you know, that was a combined 10 years that they've, the 10 years, three and four. So 10 years, like, I'm an English major. I apologize. You got two English.
You got three on there. That's awesome.
Three, me and Finney, right? 75. Suck Gary, you're in bad company here. But no, I mean, that's 10 years of experiences with those guys, right? And so we are super fortunate. We've been able to see so many growth opportunities for those guys, right? And all those guys have been really successful at different points early on in their career and had to go through a lot of failure and struggle and be super freaking resilient. And I think someone like Blake and even Ben and Dylan, like all those guys, it's as much because of the failures and the things that you had to work through and grind through. I think those guys are well prepared for their opportunities at the next level. And I'm looking forward to kind of seeing their progression and how they do.
Yeah, it's definitely going to help you when you get the pros, and every guy is the best guy to having that history of overcoming some failures.
Absolutely. And in a similar vein with those guys and being resilient, being with this program for a long time, can't go without saying Kyle Edwards signed a deal to play some indie ball with the Wild Things. We're obviously really excited for him, too, to get the opportunity to keep on playing.
Yeah, it is neat. Their manager, Tom Vaith, is a longtime friend of mine, and he called. They were really interested in Kyle before the draft, and, you know, Kyle wanted to wait and see if, you know, somebody gave him a free agent opportunity and something like that. When that didn't happen, then he took it. I think he's playing his first game tonight. Bryce told me, I think he's playing tonight for him. So we'll see how it goes. And, you know, the draft is – or professional baseball is just going to keep going this way.
Yeah.
As it relates to hitters, because they're going to keep paring this draft down. I mean, I'm hearing, you know, it might be 10 rounds next. And then, I mean, in 10 rounds, like, they're going to take is pitchers.
Yeah.
And you know, and then the hitters will all be free agents or whatever. And so the teams, the professional affiliates become less and less, then there'll be more, you know, independent teams and things of that nature. And there'll be more hitters in college. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. Like, you know, there'll be more pitchers drafted. There'll be more hitters undrafted that'll go back to school and things like that. So it'll be, you know, it's kind of gotten that way a little bit anyway, older hitters and younger pitchers. And I think it's just going to maybe keep going that way as it that's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. And for the people who don't know, Kyle's with the Washington Wild Things. That's in Washington, Pennsylvania, right outside of Pittsburgh. So he's
about
not
30
really
miles.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Yeah, there's actually a little Division III school there called Washington and Jefferson College.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. There's a little tidbit for you.
Yes. I remember them from my Randolph-Macon days, actually. There you had go. A really basketball team, at least back in 2010 and 11.
There you go.
Well, while we're talking about the draft, I'm really glad Pierce Yarbury and the interns there did the work of finding the numbers. But you guys have had 11 pitchers since 2021 either drafted or signed to play professionally. That's
pretty
awesome.
Impressive.
For any team, yeah.
Yeah. I think it says a lot about the development that Mike's doing with the guys. If I'm not mistaken, most, if not all of those guys were not drafted previously before coming here.
I don't think any of them
were. So I think it says a lot about the development that's going on here. And it's funny because the kids have to allow you to coach them. You know, a lot of kids today get offended when you coach them. And especially when you coach them honestly. And I had this conversation with an incoming freshman today. And it's just like, look, man, if this is going to work, you're going to have to allow us to coach you. Like, we got to be in the mud together. And if you're not going to allow that, it's not going to work. So that's the deal. And a lot of those guys, like, were, you know, the three kids most recently, certainly, they just allowed us to coach them. They allowed everything, the success, the failure. Let's rethink this. You know, Blake Morgan reinvented himself as a pitcher. He went from a soft tossing guy through 80% changeups to a dude that sat 92 for, you know, seven innings every time out with a couple of different shaped breaking balls. And the changeup probably became his third or fourth pitch most days. And so he kind of came full circle and from that aspect, and it took a lot of work, and, you know, the people just don't see the mud that you have to go through to be good. They see the, you know, the finished product, and they think it came easy, and for none of those three did it, certainly. And that includes the coaching staff. I mean, Mike Pond, Rhino Beans, like, all those guys were right there in it with them, trying to help them. And maybe one of the best things you could say about those three is they were very coachable, very good, you know, horizontal communication. You could be honest with them. and you could get to the next thing because they didn't get hung up and get all butthurt or, you know, start getting defensive or blaming or anything when it didn't go their way. And a lot of people don't know all the things that those guys had to go to, and they don't need to, but we do. And that's the beauty of it, I think, as coaches, is watching those kids overcome this stuff and grow and get better and, you know, just become young men. And now they're going to get a chance to go out and see what they can do and chase their dream at the next level. So it's cool.
Yeah, we're excited for all four of them. And I guess potentially there could be more guys that end up in indie ball as the season kind of goes and the summer comes to an end. But want to look forward a little bit to the high school recruits, Finney and Mike, if you want to chat through them. I don't know, CB, you pick your first one that I got queued up here.
I mean, I want to hear the guys tell me about who they want to. That's going to tell me who there they want to talk about.
Don't you do that. You give the names. We're not playing that game. You go ahead and throw, you know, the name. There we are. That's more like it.
You give us the names, we'll mention a blurb about them.
There we go.
There we go. Here's JJ Hand.
Okay, so JJ's a really talented catcher, big, strong kid, swings the bat really well. His dad and mom played collegially at Virginia Tech, I believe both of them there. Yeah,
his dad said he pitched a game against the Monarchs at the Bud.
How about that? Yeah. So he's a great kid. He's got a big upside.
All right, let's see awesome. What the roulette gets. All right, Bennett Siegel.
Bennett Siegel's here this summer. He's one of the four hitters here. Left-handed hitting outfielder, physical kid, really good swing, had a phenomenal high school season, and reminds me a little bit of one of our former guys, Robbie Petrosi, swinging the bat.
Ooh.
Okay.
Petrosi.
Yeah.
That's a pretty solid comparison there.
Yeah, we like that. He was at like 600 at one point this spring, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, there you go, Ben. Ben Tanton.
We got Ben here. I guess I'll go with the pitchers. Ben's a right-handed pitcher from Vestal, New York. Got a chance to see him. We had seen him in Fort Myers in his junior year. He'd come to a camp. Just a really good athlete. Just really like the presence that he brings on the mound, the athleticism, and it's a phenomenal kid. Scratch golfer, by the way, fun fact on that one. I was just talking to him about his last couple rounds. So, again, I mean, we're going to probably have similar things to say about a lot of these guys because, you know, I think we really value the person as much as anything in terms of how we recruit guys. So great kid, hard worker, good student, and super excited about what he brings to the table on and off the field.
I mean, I'll never get tired of it. When we talk about a guy, you're like, yeah, he's really good at baseball. And then just stop. I'm going to be like, what's wrong with this kid? What's his problem?
I like hearing that he's a scratch golfer though, because obviously golf.
Yeah, he was. I know he was
game.
On the golf team there for Vestal. Yeah,
and I don't. Yeah, and I don't know. Like I say, scratch because I'm just hedging my bet that like I don't know. You know, he might get mad. He might think he's better than that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Way better than me.
Well, we'll keep the golf team away from him for sure for a little while. All right, I got another pitcher for you.
We got old Charlie Pierce here from Colorado, another right-handed pitcher. Played for a really good organization with the Slammers out of Colorado, out of Denver area. And, again, right-handed pitcher has really, like, I think the physicality is really starting to come into his own. I mean, I don't know, it's probably 6'3". Again, he's probably going to get mad if I, you know, if I, I'm going to just
about
call it 6'3". Dad's a big guy, and it's a four-pitch mix. It's a strike thrower, and it's a really competitive kid. I think he was second-team All-State Colorado this past year. Infectious personality, great smile, and just a fantastic human.
I think his nickname is Squints. because he, and he kind of always is looking at you kind of funny like that. Like, people call him Squints.
There we go.
And he,
I think he's going to be awesome.
He went to Monarch High School.
There you go. Yep,
perfect. Monarch through and through.
Yeah.
All right. The next one may be the only commit that I've met.
Colorado before?
Wasn't Tyser and Tostrup, I think, are both from Colorado.
Oh, are they? Well, Tostrup was.
Yeah, I don't think we've had.
Yeah.
I don't think we've had a high school kid from Colorado.
High school.
Yeah, high school, yeah.
Oddly enough, I was in Colorado last week at Red Rocks, and I found out on Instagram the next day that Tostrup was at the same concert that I was, sitting maybe two rows away.
Did you go to the Eric Church concert?
I did. I went to the third night. It was just him and the guitar, and Joanna Cotton came out with him. Poured down rain for like an hour, but it was an incredible experience.
That's on my bucket list to see a concert there. And him, he's my favorite singer. So I'm jealous, man. That had to be awesome, Gary.
It was fantastic. He did three straight nights. We were there for that third night.
All three were different, right? The third night, guitar, and what were the other two?
He did one with his band, The Machine, and then the other one I think was like a chorus and gospel arrangement. So an orchestra,
That's cool. Yeah.
I'm glad it didn't rain like that on those nights. It was just him and the guitar out there. He was fine. The rest of us were just taking it. Like, there's nowhere to go at Red Rocks if it starts raining. So you just enjoy the moment and enhance the experience. So it was a lot of fun.
All right. Who's next?
All right. Next one, maybe the only high school recruit that I have actually met in person.
Cam.
And it's Cam Tellison.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Cam has some similarities to Andy Gariola. Certainly physically and stature wise, you know, he's a local guy, Virginia Beach kid, Lansdowne, big first baseman and good athlete for a big kid, very coordinated. You know, a lot of times those long guys have a little bit of work to do and trying to get everything synced up. And so he's in summer school as well, working hard on, you know, all of that. And he's gonna be a big, strong guy. He can hit it out, you know, a long way. So we're excited about getting to work with Cam.
Yeah, and he's a big boy. I mean, I saw him over.
Memorial, and I pointed him out to Gary. I said, that's one of our guys next year. He's like, that enormous kid. He's like, yep.
All right, kick it over to the next pitcher with potentially the best last name on the team now.
Cavalcante, yes. So Chris is a right-handed pitcher from Philly, went to LaSalle, which is actually fun fact on that one. I actually did – I took an eighth grade – or I took a math class at LaSalle when I was in eighth grade. I did first period in a ninth grade class, math class at LaSalle, and then went back to my eighth grade for the rest of the day, me and another kid. That's my fun. I mean, I guess these are the random things that you got to share on something like this, right? So,
and
here you are. Look at how I got you.
And here I am now again as an English major. So I don't know what that says about LaSalle's, math education. Right. But, no, really good school there, really good program. Kyle Werman runs that program there as the head coach. And Chris is someone who's, again, it's another guy who's kind of really, another big physical righty that's really grown into his body. You know, we committed him probably around this time last year. We had seen him down in Hoover and during one of those 17U events that we actually just got back from. And I think he's done a really good job of learning just kind of his skill sets and what makes him good out in the mound. Again, big, strong physical righty, was the Philadelphia Catholic League Pitcher of the Year this year. Had a really good spring. And we actually have back-to-back Catholic League Pitchers of the Year. We had Jace Park was the Catholic League Pitcher of the Year last year, and then Chris takes the mantle this year. So I told some guys that we have relationships up there. We're in the market for whoever next year's Catholic League Pitcher of the Year is going to be. I don't know who it is, but we got to go find them.
If you commit to us, it'll be you.
It'll be you, right? If you're the guy from Philly in the class, then I guess it'll be you. So, you know, obviously super excited about him.
All right. We've got a couple more here. Give an out there with Nick Felton, the Finney.
Yeah, Nick's St. John's Prep up in D.C. and played for Mark Gibbs. And Kevin Gibbs helps out with that program, our Hall of Famer. Kevin, you know, was the first guy to tell us about Nick. And, gosh, I think since we signed Nick, I don't know when it was, but he's probably grown 3 inches and put on 30 pounds. Like, when we saw him this summer, I was like, oh, my gosh, you ate – who's this guy that ate Nick Felton? And he is just super athletic, super twitchy, you know, left-handed hitting center fielder that has a really good swing. I think it translates into him having a chance to hit early in his career. There's not a lot going wrong there, and it's quick. So, you know, for – a lot of times with these young guys, you know, it's one, is it strong enough? And two, is it quick enough? And what's the path look like? And he checks the boxes right there. So he's got a chance, you know, if he'll get it going, he's got a chance to have, you know, a chance to play early in his career for sure.
And I think I saw Baseball America just named him a third team All-American.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. Well, he had a fantastic year. Great kid. Both his parents were college athletes. So good stock, and you know, he's got a bright future, we hope.
And I know hey, I love your left-handed hitting outfielders, Finney. So checks the box for you for this class.
Absolutely.
All right. I think this is the last one I have here. Jackson Okonkwo, yeah,
I think, you know, it's funny because we've stocked the cupboard with big, strong physical righties, and Jackson's one of those guys. Another one of those guys in this class. It's funny, like, we had three lefties drafted and, you know, the four incoming guys are righty. I mean, not so much of this is about just finding, again, like we said before, finding the right guys. And Jackson's a local guy here, played for alum Pat Nichols at Greenbrier. And I think one of the cool things about, for someone like Jackson's, we've been able to see that progression over a long period of time, right? We've seen him years ago. I mean, he might have been at our team camp when he was playing for Druzz with the Blasters. We've got to see, you know, I remember Cody Semler talking about him years ago when Cody was on staff and working a camp with him and saying, hey, you got to see this guy. I think he's got a chance. And what's cool for Jackson is that, again, as a local guy, we've been able to see that progression. We've been able to see that growth over time for him as he's grown. Again, another guy that's kind of grown into his body and really started to, you know, to come out and produce at a high level, really helped a good Greenbrier team this year. I get a chance to see him this spring, and it's a big fastball that, you know, he pounds his own with. He's got a good feel for the changeup, and I think the makings of some really good, you know, like a really good breaking ball, and I think that's there. And I'm looking forward to seeing that progression because I think the tools and the pieces and the elements are all there for him to go out and have a lot of success. And Finney talks about that all the time with, like, toughness is, you know, on the mound, you know, toughness can be equated a lot of time to guys' ability to go in there and throw strikes and fill up the box and challenge hitters. And we definitely think Jackson has that skill set in play already. And now it's going to be his ability to translate that to the next level here.
Yeah, I love it. I'm a big fan of Jackson. I haven't known him for a few years, and I got to see him pitch a couple times this spring. And yeah, I'm with you. There's a lot in the tank. There's a lot of room for growth there.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
And we're excited to see these guys out in the fall, and then of course in the spring when the season starts. I appreciate you all, you know, kind of giving us the insight.
I think we got one more I didn't have a picture of was Cole McKenna.
Yeah, we got Will too, right? Thomas, Mike. We didn't talk about Will yet, right?
I don't think I have a baseball card for that one.
So there you go.
Johnson, Will Johnson. Sorry,
Johnson. Okay,
Thomas.
Mike, you are muted still, sir.
Yeah, you're muted, Mike.
Thank you. First time on. Yeah, let's start. Yeah, I guess we go McKenna first, and then
So McKenna's. You know, another South Jersey guy, and What high school was Cole at?
West Stafford, played for Johnny Oler, another alum. That's right, played for another. You're hearing trends here.
Yeah. And, you know, Cole is a fantastic athlete. He's just very smooth, very fluid. He, you know, he looks like a guy that can play shortstop, certainly a middle infielder. Probably going to keep progressing as he puts on weight. He's got a good swing, really competitive. He played at a really good high school program and summer program. And we're super excited about him. And then Will Johnson's the other one, another shortstop, junior college shortstop that we got from – is it Northeast Oklahoma, Mike? Yeah, Northeast Oklahoma.
Northern Oklahoma College of Tonkawa.
There you go.
However you say that.
We'll call it Northeast Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, works for me.
We had him in camp as a high school player. And he was just, you know, just a tick not quite physical enough. But he's grown a lot. And, you know, when Paul saw him this fall, he absolutely loved him. And his first phone call with the kid, he was like, "Hey, you know anything about Old Dominion?" And he was like, "Yeah, I came to camp there." What? You know, Paul wasn't That's here. Funny. He didn't know. And then and I was like, "Oh, yeah, we all remember that kid." Like, he's got a lot of ball player to him. He was playing out in the Northwoods League the first half of the summer, and then he went home to finish up a couple classes he needed. So he's got a very good chance of being our shortstop this year. Mm-hmm. He certainly has the skill set, and he's a good offensive player as well.
Y'all okay with talking about some more of the transfers that are coming in?
Yeah, unless we wanted to wait till August and make that the portal.
Okay.
Kind of talk, yeah. I think, give us something to talk about in August. And, you know, sure. You guys mentioned the stadium. I mean, it's coming along. You can actually see the footers for all the rooms now.
Nice.
On our side and then starting toward the middle, they're starting to put the backstop kind of back together with the new lines. And, you know, the bottom of it's starting to take shape. So that's exciting. They had some snafus they had to work through with the city and water pipes. And if anybody's been down there, like, it looks like a war zone with the roads all tore up on 45th Street Park in there. But they are making progress. And I think as construction goes, nothing ever goes as fast as you hope. But it is moving. And, you know, we're going to be playing in there in the spring. So we're excited about that.
Let's go. That's what matters.
Yep.
Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to seeing some baseball back out there. And, of course, having the Bud completely done for that first game there. And I guess it'll be February, right?
Yeah, but it won't be the Bud then anymore.
That's right. Very true. I have to break that habit. That is stuck in my brain deeply.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, 20 years I've been calling it the Bud, so that's going to be a tough one to break.
Yeah, but it'll be exciting and – it'll be a really neat place to have as our new home.
Well, now that we talked about the nice, fun stuff, Mike, I want to pose a question to you. So we're very excited about our three guys getting drafted, but that's got to make it feel like a lot of work for you for next year, right? I mean, that's – you know, every year you come into a whole new team, but, man, you're really not coming in with anybody who are like, okay, this guy was a guy for us last year and then the rotation, you know? So how does that feel? What's the plan?
It feels like almost every, I mean, it's rare when you're able to, it's rare. Like we had the year before where we could, we had a pretty good sense of who was going to be on the rotation. Every year you are, and, you know, now more than ever, right. With the amount of turnover that kind of seems to exist. You're always going to be challenged with trying to find new roles and guys that to try and figure some stuff out. And so, honestly, like that's the beauty of college baseball, college athletics, maybe in general, is like those guys had the opportunity to go, like they were ready, they were mature enough, go. And it's now it's an opportunity for us as coaches to work with a new group of guys and to build the next wave of guys that get to play through here. And there's some guys that give some guys some opportunity to to kind of take ownership of some roles, right? Like we had, you know, had a ton of fun watching guys like Ethan Hubble, you know, finish out his year. I mean, it was like, that's the fun stuff. Like you get someone like him to be able to see his progression over the course of the year and really find himself and find and really hone in on his identity and really start to, you know, take advantage of who he is as a pitcher. You know, it was fun watching, you know, got a chance to see Kellen Davis this summer and just being able to see his progression as a human and as a, you know, as a pitcher. You know, obviously Bailey Mitella got to go out and start in the draft league this year. And I think that was really good for him to be able to go and get, you know, to go into that environment, an easy environment to compete in. You're doing it in really awesome venues. The energy's fantastic. And he was able to go out and have a really good summer. And it was super beneficial for him in a lot of different ways. And then you have some guys that are, you know, coming through your, you know, Hunter Baines came on strong at the end of last year. And he's going to be someone that we really, you know, hope and anticipate, you know, takes another jump this next year and really starts to, you know, kind of just figure out some pieces of his puzzle, right? And put all that together. I think he showed some really good flashes and glimpses of that. And so, yeah, I mean, we'll, you know, you guys get a chance to talk about, you know, some of the portal guys next. Obviously it's, yeah, it's just trying to find guys that want to be about, like, you know, we talk about this all the time, like guys that really value Old Dominion for who we are and what we're about, you know, and really appreciate the day-to-day quality of life and experience that they get to have here. And guys that genuinely want to build relationships, right? And that want to, as Finn talks about, like, you know, be at a place where they're going to be able to be told the truth and get loved up, right? Like, you're going to get that here in spades. You're going to get that time and time again. And so I'm excited about what this next configuration looks like. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to those guys that, you know, have had that experience here, what they get to do, you know, now that they have another year under their belt. We'll have some young guys that are looking at, you know, guys that were young guys last year that were finding themselves that, let's see if, you know, there's always a lot of guys that there's a year or two, you know, listen, freshman year's hard for 100% of freshmen, whether you play a sport or not. There's some guys, hopefully, that they can take a jump here year two and contribute. And then, you know, our goal is that we tried to find the best fits that we could in the portal for who we are and what we're about and the type of culture we have here. Like we talk about all the time, like we move as methodically as we can and try and gain as much information as we can and learn the people that we're recruiting, learn the families that we're recruiting. We try and get as much as we can within the constraints of how fast the transfer portal moves. Right. And we are so protective of our culture, of our locker room and trying to bring in guys that are going to fit. You know, we're super, like, we're protective of the locker room. We spend a ton of time thinking about, like, housing, who's going to live with who and how all that works out, the dynamics and who's going to be mentoring other people, right? Finney puts a ton of time into thinking about, like, the mentorship of how he wants to, you know, pair, how we want to pair older guys with younger guys and how all that impacts. Like, and so we want to try and double down on that relationship aspect as much as we can in a space, in a world that's becoming probably ever increasingly transactional. And not that, listen, it's a business. We got to win like anybody else and we got to make business decisions like anybody else. But we try and lead our recruiting with getting our guys and these families to understand the value of the relationship and what comes from that. And that's going to be our separator, right? We're going to coach you up. We're going to work our tail off to, and pour ourselves into the development processes to get you better. And we believe if we create a really good environment and put you in good position to be successful, develop the heck out of you, put that time in, invest in, then the byproduct is you have an awesome experience and we win a ton of games. And then hopefully, you know, for some of these guys, pitcher, position player, doesn't matter. Like, hopefully at the end of the day, you get, you know, get a chance to get a ring, you get a chance to have your name up on the, or get your picture up on the wall and you get a chance to play through this program.
Gary, just clip all that and just play that on like a loop for the next like year. What else do you want out of a program? Come on.
I think you're just getting me. You're getting me with all these calls. This is just the you know, putting that on with all the calls I've been making.
Well, yeah. and to tease it a little bit too, for next time, we got, I believe it was 5 pitchers and 3 hitters. 5 pitchers, and then the hitters were an outfielder who was the freshman of the year in his league. We got a D2 All-American shortstop, and we got a catcher who's a local guy from University of North Carolina. And so we felt like we hit our needs on those, and the pitchers are all very much potential big contributors, we think. And Mike and them, I mean, I can't tell you that first 3 weeks when the portal opened, I mean, those guys, like, and you got to give a lot of credit to everybody. I mean, I would come in the office and, man, it was like, just math equations everywhere. I mean, they set up an algorithm for things we were looking for and hunting for in terms of numbers, you know, walks to strikeouts and slug, and you know, the hitters, it was, you know, same thing, walks to strikeouts and on base percentage and things like that. And we didn't go after like the shiny pennies like we have in the past. We learned a little bit, hopefully. We went after guys that had a lot of success at the level they were at. And they were at good levels, but they had a lot of success. The people we talked to said the right things about them, from a toughness, from a coachability, from a teammate standpoint. And when we had them all on campus, when we, you know, our unofficial recruiting headquarters is Freight House Coffee over in over in the Rail Yard District, and Tom Wolf and his wife Chelsea, man, I think we should have bought stock in there before the summer. We spent a lot of money in there, and you know, but it was just, you know, without our offices, it was just a more comfortable place to meet and talk with everybody. But great, really good families. We had a lot of success. We didn't get everybody we went after, but we got it at a high rate. And you know, so I feel like we got the right kids, we got talented kids, we got tough kids, we got guys that are going to be able to contribute to the team culture here. And so we're really pleased with that part. And we'll talk more about them individually on the next one. But I think people are going to be excited about them. We certainly are.
Well, just hearing the teaser got me pretty interested. You're talking about D2 All-Americans and Freshmen of the Year and someone coming up from UNC that's local. I mean, it's a pretty good tease. But I think it was the last episode we had with Hage was on. I just kind of asked the question, like, where do you even start in the portal? If there's 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 kids in there, like, where do you start? And it was funny. It's the math equations and paring that down. And then it's who do we know that knows them to tell us what kind of person they are? So that was
it almost, good to hear that. You know, other than one, maybe, there was a connection. There was some sort of connection. And that, you know, we just kind of fell into one through working. And, you know, but there all the others, there was some sort of connection. And we realized that we need that here. And that's okay. You know, but we the guys were relentless in what they were going after, and we just got a really good angle righty 2 days ago that Mike's been on most of the summer, and you know, it just worked out that through some things that we were able to get him, and he's going to be a valuable piece of our bullpen, we think. So we're excited about that. We got some potential starters in there. We got some bullpen pieces in there, and, you know, coupled with the guys that are coming back and coming in, we think it's, you know, it's got the makings of a pretty good pitching staff.
And Hage talked about that thing a little bit, just talking about, like, you know, we talk about that as a it helps to have anchor points. It helps to have other people that know us and know what this program's about and know, like what's under the hood when you get past some of the logos, right, that we see on here. Like it elevates an understanding of kind of what the potential opportunity experience is for those guys. When we have some people on the other side, you know, that are working with us, that's one of the questions I always ask is like, all right, who's going to be helping you in this process, right? Outside of maybe mom and dad. And when you do that, you find that out. And then like you have them, you know, try and get them. It's so critical for us to get those people, those other anchor points to understand what Old Dominion actually means, like what it's about, what we're about, and what the day-to-day, you know, quality of life is going to be here. I think when you have other people out there fighting for you, people that actually know you, this place, you know, is awesome. And it's always more valuable for us when we can find those guys, you know, that can help sell who we are and what we're about.
And so now I'm just going to assume this whole thought process and angle is exact approach you take to now the high school recruiting, like as you said, you're doing right now. You're out there at the big events happening down south, and you're going to some more events. I'm assuming it's kind of the exact same thing. You know, you see a kid that's like, okay, well, who do we know? And you said you do have a longer process to get to know them. I know you mentioned that last time, Vinny.
Yeah, and it's better now because this portal has slowed the high school recruiting down a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, normally we'd have had a handful of 27 commits already.
Yeah.
Who knows if they're any good or not? I mean, you don't know. you know, now we're finishing up the 26th class. We're hoping to get a couple commitments here in the next couple of days from some guys with offers. And there's a lot of good 26 players still available out there. Mm-hmm. But the 27s, this will be, you know, we've seen a handful these guys have in the last 3 weeks and more coming up this next week. But that has slowed down. And that's a good thing. You're going to make less mistakes. The high school kids, this is a whole new world for them. You know, like their value is, for lack of a better way to say it, has gone down. Because you're not going to bet the farm on a 16-year-old when you got a dude that's 23 coming in here with a tattoo and beard and mm-hmm. he hits it out in the road. and that's just the way it is. We still want to base of our program, if you're looking at the pyramid, to be made up of high school kids, because that can create some stability and continuity. Maybe not. Everything's up for grabs in this mm-hmm. whole new paradigm of college athletics, but that's how we're going to try to do it. We're still looking for the, you know, the undervalued kid a little bit, and the kid that maybe is a couple years away from reaching his peak, you know, athleticism, strength-wise, and some of that. We're not going to get the kid that's already the polished, strong, super fast, athletic kid anyway, because we can't win the brand game on that. And that's okay. That's okay. But those guys –
you'll get them in 2 years when they realize that the brand wasn't worth it.
Yeah, and sometimes those kids are as good as they're going to be, or they just matured early. And they got that, and then they realize, you know, they're in the portal in 2 years because they didn't get any better. We're looking for the guy that's going to be continuing to get better through our strength program and training and things like that, and be able to play anywhere that you play, you know, like by his junior year, that kind of stuff. So that's what we're trying to get.
And when you take all that with the backbone of looking for really good people who contribute to your culture – I mean, that's awesome. That seems like I said, whatever the paradigm is with freshmen and high school and all that, the backbone of a good culture, it seems like that's a really good formula.
Yeah, that can't change. Like that, that's a non-negotiable for all of us, you know. What kind of kid is he? Do we want to coach him? Do we want to be around him every day? Is he gonna be a guy that's going to contribute and help us? Because the deal with culture, we've talked about before, it can't come from the coaches. If it comes from the coaches, it's just slogans and rules. Culture has to come from the players. And you have to fight for that and build it. You have to help them with it. All right. But it's culture. If it's coach driven, man, it's rules. It's not standards. And a good culture comes from players. Any good team culture, the players are the ones driving that boat.
And to that, like, just, I think it was good to, you know, Finney touched on, like, kind of talking a little bit about the algorithm, right? Like, it's hard to go through, get to this point in the summer and not bring up, like, you know, what Paul Panic has done, you know, as the recruiting coordinator here in terms of navigating all this. And so trying to loop that back to what Finney's talking about, like, you know, Paul did a great job of setting up the system this summer, right? Organizing and structuring every time a name came through, you know, we kind of were able to filter it out, you know, and kind of tag, you know, X amount of guys here. And then, you know, whether it was, you know, Kane and Pond and Moore kind of doing their background in terms of understanding and then filtering out to, you know, whether it's Finney, myself or Hage, then it gives us the chance to be able to invest time, not in, is this guy good enough or does he fit us physically? But then we can dive right into like, is he the right kid? Right. Because we've already done that work. If we don't have that system set up, if Paul doesn't do the work that he does kind of creating and organizing it and structuring it, you know, we're chasing our tail a lot of the summer, you know, and then we're having to cut corners and make some tougher decisions and some less educated decisions. But the way that you know, Paulie, you know, kind of teed it up for everybody else in the organization, in the program, to be able to do their role, have their role, do their job. It really allowed us to kind of go after and do a really good job spending time getting to know families. And honestly, the flip of it, like families getting to know us. I think that's a huge part of it too. It's not just us getting to know, you know, a player and a family. It's the families and the player getting to understand who we are, the personalities. Like, you know, I joke, you know, it's like as a Philly guy, as a Northeast guy, sarcasm is my love language. Like you need to not show up here and day one be surprised by that. Like we got to spend time getting to know you. You know, like we spend a lot of time, even it's like, once you get through those first couple calls, like, all right, let's get on a Zoom. Let's spend some FaceTime. Like, let's get on with your parents. Let's get them involved as best as we can. Let's get them asking questions. Let's get them understanding who we are as people. You know, we have to, again, that kind of term under the hood, like if we're going to do this right, we're going to get the right guys. They got to get under the hood and understand us and know us. And I think, you know, what Paul did, what the other guys did, you know, allowed me and Hage and Finney to kind of handle our responsibilities and really do, you know, it played for a really good structure. And I think that process is what put us in a position where we're able to land some guys that we are really excited about and to kind of fit the dynamic of what we were looking for from the beginning.
Yeah, now we're
just gonna play a game. I want to watch this team.
Well, yeah, let's now go. We just do it. Now we just need to be good.
Yeah.
Now you got all your puzzle pieces. Now you just got to spend the fall arranging it.
Pretty good. Yeah. So we're
hopeful. This stuff you got to talk about in July, though, right?
Yeah.
What Mike said. I mean, Paul worked his butt off, and that dude definitely deserves a vacation here for the end of the year because. He has been on the road a bunch, and you know it's he's been a lot of fun to he's dug right into this program, man, and made his presence felt in a very short period of time in a very positive way. So we're really happy and grateful he's on our team.
Well, I'm ready to commit now to Old Dominion baseball for the upcoming season. I have four years of terrible work ahead of me, so.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, fellas, speaking of summer and vacation, y'all have got to take some time off eventually. But Mike, I'll start with you. What any fun summer vacation plans in the 2 seconds you have free?
I mean, I just got an hour. I avoided bedtime with this. Like I'm hanging. Like this is vacation, right?
Does this count?
Yeah.
Just give us the signal if we need to keep this going for a little longer for you.
I honestly, Finney and I went over and saw a game tonight, and I had Tom. So I got the Norris 10, Annie 7, and Tommy's 3. And so I don't know. Like I think me having Tom over there with Finney for a couple innings gave Sarah, my wife, an actual vacation from, you know, from him. I think that's needed. We're right in the middle of potty training a 3.5-year-old boy, so you can only imagine what that looks like. But no, it's a vacation for us. Will be vacation for us. I'll do futures games down in Atlanta. We'll leave tomorrow. Hage and I leave tomorrow for that. We'll go down for a couple days, and then I'll meet up with with Sarah and the kids and in Bethany Beach in Delaware. So Sarah's been going there with her family for forever. And
my mom just got back. Like,
that's on.
Cool.
It's awesome. It's about I've never been before, you know, Sarah and I started dating. And now our kids love it. We have a countdown on the calendar. I don't know. Annie's been counting that down for about 3 weeks now. So we're looking forward to that. And then probably, you know, do a little bit of time with my side of the family, doing a little bit, maybe some smaller things. And that'll be what it looks like for the next couple of weeks.
That's awesome. Now, Finney, are you planning a Red Rocks trip right now as we're talking? Oh, there we go. Star of the show.
There we go.
Oh, man.
The countdown.
That'll be awesome. Oh, wait, every day's a vacation for me, so I don't need to do I've taken a couple weekend vacations down the Outer Banks. Went down to Frisco early in the summer. Went to Duck, 4th of July. So had a couple weekend getaways, but, that's been it. I may try to slide down and see my son, Gray, in Fort Myers here. But I kind of want to wait till it's cold here to go down there. So
yeah, honestly,
I may put that off.
That's a December trip.
Yeah, exactly. So that sounds like Thanksgiving and Christmas to play golf down there. So we'll see. But yeah,
Fort Myers is great. I didn't realize that's where Gray was. You get down there are hurricanes, the wings.
Yeah.
Hurricanes wings is really good.
Yeah. The
CB Gary, what do you guys do? What do you guys got? What's your vacation?
I had a few days of Red Rocks last week and came back. My big one I've got circled. I'm going over to Europe in October, so I'll be over there for about 2 weeks, hitting Iceland, Amsterdam, and then London for the Jags football game over there. So that's the one I got circled. I have a fun work trip to Phoenix next week. I heard it's beautiful there this time of year.
Yeah, I bet.
My vacation was. My vacation was Georgia Tech in February and Auburn and Southern Miss in March. That was my vacation.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. And exactly how I wanted to spend it. It was phenomenal.
Yeah. And you brought the cold weather with you wherever we went.
I did. We really did bring wherever we went. It was pretty rough.
Well, we set a new record, I think, for podcast length tonight.
At least for your involvement in the podcast, for sure.
Our part. Yeah, our part.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we appreciate it. This is fantastic. We really appreciate it. It's something special to get this kind of insight to you guys. And I don't know how you could watch this as an Old Dominion fan and not be excited, not feel like everything's going in the right hands. I mean, it's exactly what I want to hear as a fan.
Well, thank you. We got a good group, good coaching staff, and a good group of guys. And, we're looking forward to – We'll still have, plenty of obstacles to work around this fall with the stadium stuff, but we're going to figure out how to get around it. We always do. And it'll just be a really fun thing for all these guys that had to go through what they did last year to see something new being built up each day. And that's going to be really exciting, especially as the fall goes on and the stadium starts to get up and, all those things. So we're excited about the future.
Yeah, we definitely are as well, but really appreciate the time. Fans, hang tight. CB and I are going to be back to recap things and then also play that Blake interview for you. But Coach Marin, Finney, greatly appreciate your time. Hope you all enjoy the rest of your summer, and we'll see you again in probably about a month.
All right. Thanks, guys. Everybody have a good night.
Thanks, Gary. Yeah, thanks, CB. Have a great night, boys. Yeah.
This episode of the Monarchist Podcast is brought to you by the Pride of ODU Collective. Their mission is to elevate the experience of student-athletes through name, image, and likeness, while also elevating the fan experience. If you or your business are interested in getting involved, you can reach out to us directly or go over to theprideofodu.com. That is theprideofodu.com. Thank you for listening, and go Monarchs.
All right. Welcome back, fans. Hope you all enjoyed the conversation there with Coach Marin and Finney. We got a lot from it. Some breaking news we weren't aware of with some transfer portal announcements. We'll have more details on that in the next episode. Yeah. But CB, I think you have some super breaking news right now.
I do. This is breaking. So this is, we're recording this on Tuesday night. And I, as Finney said, he thought Kyle Edwards would make his pro debut. He did and is apparently. My mom was trying to call me actually while we were sitting here. They're watching his game. I'm not sure on what, but they're watching the Wild things. And he had a single batting left-handed. I guess he went back to why he decided to go back to switch hitting in his pro debut. Who knows? Only Kyle Edwards could tell you that. That's the man, the myth, the mystery. But so he got a hit in his first day AB. So that's pretty awesome.
Indie ball debut. Can't hold anything back here.
Indie ball, indie left-handed. Ball dog, man.
Yeah. Watch him hit like, 370 from the left and then ends up into a minor league system next year. Yeah. And we're like, wow, Kyle could have hit the other way there.
I mean, I would believe it. He's so athletic. He's such a – I mean, and you know, I will say, again, my talent level obviously was terrible. But the few times that I tried switch hitting, because I'm a natural lefty, the few times I hit right-handed, I was like, I think I'm actually more fundamentally a better hitter right-handed. Because sometimes you just – because you aren't – you don't have the same natural athleticism from that side. So like when I went right-handed, it was like, okay, it's all fundamentals. Let's make sure we're doing things properly. And so if that kind of thing is going on, it might, you could maybe end up being a better, especially contact hitter. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, just get the reps and see what happens, but glad that,
Kyle got replaced on the Pilots by Tyler Zdalas, who had a grand slam the other night for the Peninsula Pilots. And I know he's there. So now Scotty's still there. And then Evan Holman's with them. So I'm going to go see them tomorrow night. Hopefully all three of them line up again.
Yeah, if you haven't made it over to a Pilots game yet, highly recommend getting over there, especially with three Monarchs on the team.
And I got this week and next week left, and then the playoffs. They are phenomenal. They're like 25-10, I think. They're a phenomenal team.
Yeah, they've had a really great season. But it's hard to believe the summer is actually coming to an end. And – I've got like a 5-week countdown until I'm going to be in Indiana for ODU football's opener. So it's going by. Yeah. It's basically 5 weeks at this point where that's going to be.
Cause it's like what, September 6th. Is that what it is? Or when's that's like the first home game is a 6th, isn't it?
Yeah. They play the Saturday of Labor Day weekend. So it'll be a Labor Day weekend trip up to Bloomington, Indiana.
That was good stuff. That was really great. It was, just the depth of information there was phenomenal. And as always, Marin completely deflecting any piece of positive of himself away to other people, which, you love. And I love that. I'm glad. And the way he answered the question about, cause I think again, a lot of people, and we brought it up in our talks about, you're replacing the entire rotation. Well, what's that going to be like? Well, and his answer was true. So the reality is most years, that's kind of how it feels anyway. I mean, you went into this year, it's like, okay, Blake was coming back. You knew that. And Blake had been a starter for you most of the time. We kind of forget that Dylan had been a starter, but also kind of up and down and in and out. And then Ben had started like two games. So, I mean, every year, I like that. I love that perspective that he has. Like, look, this is just what the job is and what it is. And you're going to bring some guys in and you hope and believe that they're going to be successful.
And I love the focus still on like who the person is and the character.
Yeah.
Because – yes, we lost all three weekend starters to the draft, but we're losing Kyle Edwards. We're losing some other guys that were really kind of the glue from the culture piece for this team. So it's kind of that time where you have to hand it off to the next batch of guys. And I think we have a great batch of guys that are returning. They're going to keep that good culture going because, I mean, last year was a really tough year with them being on the road. They spent a lot of time together on buses, planes, hotels, sleeping in airports. And at least that I'm aware of, didn't hear anything about any major blowups. I didn't hear anybody getting dumped off the team. Nothing like that. So if you can make it through that, be all right.
I was around them a lot, and you never saw guys that would look like they were tired of being around each other or like, oh, this guy again. It's like they're just there. They're hanging out with their buddies. They seem genuinely excited every single day to be hanging out with their buddies. So that says a lot about, like you said, that was a tough time, man. When we were there in the airport, it was like 3 and 4 in the morning and everyone was still just like, okay, nobody was having a bad, like nobody really was having a bad time other than like, oh, this is unpleasant. You're like, they're because as they point out, you got to win in the margins, right? You're not going to win the big recruiting battles because of the brand. You're not going to win big recruiting battles now because of the money, but what you can win at is being good people. And getting the right kind of people for your place. And like I said, the development, which as they pointed out, how many of the guys that we talk about, those, all those pitchers have been drafted, most of them were with us most of their career, if not all their career.
Yeah.
And they were not getting drafted before they got here, and then were after they left, which again says a lot.
Yeah, a lesser team would have imploded last year, considering our record and the travel and everything else, but they didn't. Yeah. They ended up actually kind of exceeding better. Some expectations, yeah. And we're looking pretty good down the stretch. Just ran into a buzzsaw of a team in the conference tournament.
Yeah.
Man, I'm sitting here in my dream world thinking of the fact that ODU could have three guys in the starting rotation for the Red Sox in like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, the Boston Hudson Sox. We love it, right? We got John Hollabetz and Noah Dean, yeah. Of course, who actually got drafted by them, and then Dylan Brown, and then our buddy Nick Murray, former Old Dominion coach, is of course there, and I'm sure he's got some things to say when they come ask him about these guys. I'm pretty sure him and Dylan Brown were pretty good friends when they were both here, and so I'm sure that if he wasn't a part of it, I'm sure he was extremely excited about it. Probably walking around the office the next day, talking, "We love this guy. Dylan's gonna come in. We love this guy."
Yes. Well, hopefully, maybe somehow Dylan ends up getting sent up to the Greenville Drive for the last couple of weeks of the season, and we get that three-headed monster of Noah Dean, and Hollabetz and Dylan. That would, you know, but that's my fantasy world. Obviously, minor league, then they get traded 19 times before they even have a chance to get up to the pro ball. But you know,
well, I'll tell you what, it's a good. A good idea for anybody that might be thinking about spring training going down to Fort Myers, because they have a really nice spring training facility. And I have been in a couple of years, but last time I was down there, very easy access to just walk back and watch minor league games and hang out. And every time I've ever been to anything with the Red Sox, they were really, really professional, really good. And every time I've been back there too, I mean, one time I watched David Ortiz DH in a game, just every inning go up and bat, and they were playing the Twins, and he knew the coaches, so he was actually sitting in the Twins dugout, so he hit a homer off a guy, and the next half inning he's sitting next to the guy on the bench. It's like, okay, this is unique.
Spring training is fun, and you go to Fort Myers, catch those guys, drive north a little bit, and you can catch Blake with the Rays, and then you got to cross the state to go over to West Palm to catch Ben with the Nats and Astros. Mm-hmm. Split that facility there, but similar thing. All like the practice fields are outside of where the main stadium is in the middle. So you can just really walk up and just grab a piece of fence. And even if you're watching a guy who's going to the Dominican League, Single A, Triple A, they kind of throw all the minor league guys that are on the 40 man there together. So
I love minor league spring training. Minor league spring training is one of my favorite. When I used to go, I would go for like a week or two, and we would basically just go to the minor league spring training. We would wait until always one of my favorite ones ever was watching Noah Syndergaard pitching. I think he was on it in a double A game. I think he went to A ball that year, but he was in a double A game. It was at the Marlins place. And so there were four fields. There were four games going on at once, which is rare. Usually it's like two games. So there were four fields, all four games going on. And by the fifth inning, the last inning that Syndergaard pitched, every player who wasn't actively playing in a game was watching him pitch. Because it was just like 98-mile-an-hour fastballs and just mowing guys. And that was our buddy Connor Overton got to start against him that day for the Marlins. He pitched really well too. So I know he got looked at by some folks at that time, which is important for him.
Yeah, getting to watch Thor drop the hammer.
That was like three Tommy John surgeries ago. Yeah, that was like three Tommy John surgeries ago for Connor.
Yeah, maybe that's a topic for another day, talking about the ever-increasing rise of Tommy John surgery at like the high school level now. It's unbelievable. Yeah. But that's a topic for another day. Stay tuned again. We've been teasing it the whole time. Blake's interview will be right after this, so you can listen to us.
And it was great. Hear Blake. He's awesome. Yes. All right, so you guys listen to Blake. Are we getting out? Are we dumping it now? Are we getting out here now and saying bye now? What are we doing?
We're dumping it now. Enjoy the Blake interview. Go Monarchs.
Yes, go Monarchs.
Hello, Monarch fans, and welcome back to the Hudson Homers podcast. We are grateful to be joined today by Blake Morgan, recent draft pick of the Tampa Bay Rays. Blake, thanks so much for joining us, and congratulations.
Thank you so much, and yeah, absolutely. I love coming on here.
That's great. We're glad to have. Congrats, man. We were talking just a second ago. We're all excited for you, man. Like, we love all the guys, but you know you're special. You're a dude, man. So congrats. But how did you find out? Like, where were you? What was going on when you found out?
I was at my house. My family was there. A couple of my friends were over. And I found out it was kind of like a last minute thing. I had been like talking with teams kind of throughout the day, and then the phone went silent for like an hour, and I didn't really know what was going to happen. So after the 10th round, the phone like kind of went silent, and I didn't really hear anything until like the 15th or 16th. And nothing definite still at that point. It was just teams like reaching out, wondering what my number was, what I was looking to get. And then like I agreed to a deal with the Royals to sign post draft. I was like, I agreed for $50,000. So I turned my phone off. Like I wasn't answering any calls from anyone else. I got a call from the Padres 5 minutes later. Couldn't answer it. So Maron was dealing with all that. He's talking with a bunch of other teams trying to get my name called. And there was a couple other teams that wanted to get me right after the draft that were like guaranteeing me this and that. And Maron was saying that if I was going to go undrafted, I should have stayed with the Royals, which is the right thing to do. Like I kind of already made that handshake agreement. So his main goal was just to get my name called. And he called me in the 19th round and he was like, yeah, you're up in 2 picks. And he told me like the scout name, he told me it was ML. And so I knew that it was the Rays, but my parents didn't know or anyone else. So I didn't tell them. I just told them to listen to the TV. And then they all heard it. My mom was freaking out.
So people who don't know, that's ML Moore, who's now the new head coach of Norfolk State. He was a Rays guy. Yes. I was wondering if he was the one. That's amazing. That's really cool.
Correct. Yeah, this was his last year. He said he had to get his cousin before he left because we have the same last name. So
that's funny. That's awesome. That's really cool to hear. Number one, that you almost were a Royal after the fact. So that's great. You had a deal anyway, so you knew you're going to be a pro. It tells you how great Mike Maron is and what he's doing. That he's out there just working that phone and making sure, because it's cool to go pro, but it's so much better to be like, hey, I got drafted. That's just that. There's something to that. That's a special moment, man.
Absolutely, yeah. So he was. Yeah, he was working his tail off all day. It was definitely a stressful day for me and him both. Especially like dealing with DB and Ben as well. I'm sure he was figuring things out with Ben once that 10th round had passed, and he was probably wondering kind of what was going on like the rest of us were. Yeah. So I'm glad that Ben got that situated. He got to go to his hometown team, which is awesome. That's, I'm sure he's excited about that. Yeah.
Had you had any conversation with the Rays or workouts with them prior to the draft?
So I didn't. That was actually the first call I got on that morning was from the Tigers, and I didn't even have the guy's number saved. I hadn't even spoken to them at all. I'd spoken to like a good percentage of teams, and they weren't one of them, and the Rays weren't one of them. I mean, like if the Rays hadn't picked me, I think Maron said the Tigers were going to pick me 6 picks later or 7, whatever they were. Wow. And it was just so weird because I had been communicating with teams like since the fall, like all these teams wanted to have meetings, like we did meetings, and then I did pre-draft workouts, and like the Rays were never really in the picture, and kind of just out of nowhere, it was crazy. So yeah, it was definitely a lot of Maron's doing. He was talking to people that I didn't even know kind of what was going on behind the scenes. So that was super cool.
Yeah. Sounds like you had quite a few potential options there between the Royals signing undrafted, you know, the Tigers looking at you, and maybe even some other teams down the road, but it's awesome to hear just kind of how that works behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was exciting stuff. Like I said, I'm happy with the way it ended. I love where I'm at. I have some great weather where I'm at. So that's all super exciting.
I really think it's a great spot for you too, because I mean, you know, we've talked about this before where I'm like, I think you're definitely a pro pitcher, but the way they've gone now, you're not a guy that throws like 95, 98 miles an hour. So I was always worried about it. So it's number one, it's great to see, but I love it going with the Rays because they're so analytical and they use data. I guarantee they know. If they bring you in, there's whatever it is. I don't know what they're going to look at, but whatever it is, there's something they're like, if we do this and you do this and this percentage or whatever, you're going to have success. I think you're in a great spot, man.
Yeah, I agree. I've heard all amazing things about the development program there. So I'm super excited about it. I mean, you hear all big names that go through there, even if they don't make it to the bigs with them. I mean, they were in there at some point and they just developed and got better, which is exactly what I'm looking to do. So it's exciting.
Yeah, an exciting time for the Rays too, because there's an ownership change coming, and the new owner is basically committed to like, we're going to stay in the Tampa Bay area, which is one of my favorite places to go.
Yeah.
So a lot of bright things in the future, and plus just their development angle, like CB was talking about. Like, I don't know if anyone's created more MLB ready guys than the Rays have. Like they don't spend, they develop within, and that's awesome to see, especially now that you are in their system.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm still excited about it. I can't wait to just get down there and start working. I'm tired of being here and home in New Jersey in the rain and just sitting around doing the same old thing every day. I'm ready to go somewhere nice. So I'm excited.
So we're talking right now. It's Saturday. And so you told me you're leaving Monday to go down to Port Charlotte. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. So my flight is Monday at 10:40. I'll head to Atlanta and then I'll leave Atlanta at 2:30 and I'll be in Port Charlotte by like 4 o'clock.
And then, well, I guess Tuesday there at the complex and getting your first adult job, right?
Yeah, right. So I'll go and move my stuff in probably on Monday once I get there, get myself settled in. And then they haven't really told me a bunch else, honestly. I don't have a ton of information. It's kind of just like figure it out as I go. So I'm definitely excited to see it all, though, and get my face in there. So that's exciting.
Is Monday also the day you officially sign, or have you done that digitally already?
I assume it would be Monday or Tuesday. I haven't done it digitally. I think I'm going to – I assume I'd be doing it there.
Got to get the photo op, get the nice picture. I mean, that's it's got to.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get a hold of that picture and make sure we push that out there for you too, because that's a big deal, man. That's awesome stuff.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, thank you very much.
Do you know anyone with the Rays at all, like players, coaches, anybody? I mean, I know I saw there's a couple of Georgia Tech guys you played against this year, obviously.
Yeah, got drafted. So, Georgia Tech Sunday guy got picked up by them as well. This is actually going to be a crazy name that you haven't heard in a while. I don't know if you remember Jaden Volker. He was he was one of the commits in my class, actually. And then I guess I don't really know what happened last minute, but he ended up going to a community college, and then I guess he went somewhere else, and he got picked up by the Rays. He's with the Charleston River Dogs now. So
as soon as you said it, I was like, yeah, I definitely, because I still follow him on the social media.
I found that out the other day. I couldn't even believe it. So look forward to. I never got a chance to meet him, so that'll be a cool conversation. Yeah.
Did you guys ever have a text chain or at one point?
So we had a group chat with our class, like all of us in the same little Snapchat group chat or whatever, just like talking about what to prepare for and stuff like that. And he kind of he was never really active in the group chat, so he never really spoke much. So he's kind of like a ghost to me.
So you know the name, but other than that, okay, all
right,
that's fair. That's good. Well, hey, a bunch of new friends. It's not like you're not like a super friendly guy. Yep. I think it'll be all right.
100%. Yeah. No, I'm super excited about it. And it's like everyone else that's going will be in the same uncomfortable experience. So everyone will be looking to find friends. So it's exciting. I'm looking forward to it for sure.
I think my biggest advice to you is, because I think some guys get nervous about this, but during games, especially when you're not pitching, a vocal guy, you're a team guy. Don't lose that, man. Just because it's pro ball. Trust me, that when y'all are going through these long, especially as you have all these guys, whatever you're gonna be doing, if you're a complex ball, if you end up with Charleston or wherever, like it's still gonna be like a long end of the year. Like keep that, just keep being you, man. That's all you can control. Just keep being yourself.
100%. I will. Thank you very much. That's good advice.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and there's so many Monarchs that are Monarch pitchers that are currently in this system. I know Pierce Yarberry and his team pulled together a stat that said we've had 11 pitchers drafted or signed in the last 5 seasons. Of course, we're seeing it with Hollibetz and Trent Buchanan and Jacob Gomez and Noah Dean and all of those guys. Have you had any contact with those guys lately? But I'm sure if you haven't yet, you will soon.
I want to say every single one of them has reached out to say congratulations in some sort of way.
I think it froze up for a second.
It's awesome. Yeah. We're a big family. We all keep. Am I back?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're back now. You're good.
Yeah, we're all a big family. It doesn't matter if you played for 1 year or 4 years together. We all keep in touch with each other, especially in big moments like these. At the end of the day, like, this is one of the goals that you've been looking for your whole life, and that's the same common goal that all of us have, and we all like recognize that in each other. So when something like this happens, I mean, it's almost impossible to not say something. So
I'm almost wondering, like, at what point do you get traded to the Red Sox organization so we can have a full 5 Monarchs in the rotation in a couple years?
Yeah,
they got Nick Murray over there pulling strings. So we'll see.
I've been calling them the Boston Hudson Sox.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Blake, we appreciate you spending some time with us. You know, I know your world kind of changed pretty drastically over the last couple of days, but in all of the best ways, we're happy for you. I know all the Monarch fans will be following around you for years. You know, 15 years from now, we'll still be bugging you on whatever social media exists then. So,
yeah, I'm sure. Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it a lot. Like I said, I love coming on here. You guys have always been great to me. So anytime I can come on and help out, I'd love to. Even just talk for a conversation, I'm always down. So.
Love that, Blake. And I've told you times, and I'm proud of you. You know, you're one of the best human beings. You're such a good guy. And I've always thoroughly enjoyed just being around you. The baseball part is great too, but just you as a person. So I'm really excited for you, man. This is exciting. Just be yourself, have fun. You can't control anything. So just go out and do your part and just do your thing, man. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Travel safe, Blake, and good luck down in Florida next week.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'll talk to you guys soon. Yep. Go ahead. See you later.